"How much for this vial?" a lady asked. For what could have only been the 1,000th time, Earth looked up from the small bit of whittling he'd been toying with in hasty anticipation, half expecting the vision of hushed straw hair and familiar blue eyes. Though the face of the young woman who looked intently at him was not unlovely, her smile vanished as it met the clear disappointment in his own eyes. "I do not know," he replied, looking back to his whittling. "Let me call my sister." "Sinew!" Sinew, having now reached the age of full beauty, delicate and strong, stepped from behind the curtain which covered the rear of the stall. "Yes." Earth nodded in the direction of the customer. Sinew's countenance immediately blossomed with her smile, and she moved to tend her needs. When she was finished, she came to hover over her brother, scowling down at his hurried whittling like a chagrined mother hen. "Yes?" he asked, not looking up. "Here, the dance of the core blossoms will begin within the hour, and my brother, handsomest man in the realm, set to mark his eve of aging, sits at a boy's task, pouting at every pretty girl that passes his way? If you will not do these good people at least the courtesy of smiling at them, would you then spare your sister the torment of having to clean up after your mess?" At this, Earth laughed, looking up into the grinning eyes of his sister. "You are a funny one," he said. "Did I really ruin the sale?" "Of course not," she said, sitting beside him on the crate. "Old men may come to buy Anera's oil in order to linger beside the virgins who wait here, but young women do not seek it out for the sake of the booth's romantic company, not even yours. But this does not change the fact that the dance will soon begin, and you look to all the world as if you would cast brimstone on us. You have always loved the festival. What has come over you?" "I do not know," he said, at last ceasing at the whittling. "I cannot shake it. All week it has grown over me like some shadow from the setting sun. A month gone, Mistress said to me that the day after tomorrow would change my life, and with it the fate of the entire world. It was a challenge which she gave me, and when I heard it, I resolved, so be it. I am no less convicted now. My head is as clear as the sky in the afternoon. But though the sky is clear, a cloudy fog is slowly seeping up from the ground, rising like a sea at the tide, darkening all paths like the threat of deepest winter nights. Nothing's really even happening. Not really. At least, I don't think it is. It is childish. But as much as I press a smile on my face while I walk about the festival with a handful of winter-dried corn, thinking on all the past years and the great joys they've been, I keep finding myself shoved back until I sit in a corner and whittle." He looked at the project in his hands. "What is this thing, anyway?" It was only beginning to take shape. A beast of some kind, perhaps a horse or a mule, with four legs and what looked like wings. He shook his head and threw it away. It clattered off the stall post in the corner. Sinew doted on him. "If Mistress has said it, then I too believe it. And such words are rightly enough to gloom even the handsomest man in the realm. But they are not enough to keep him from what certainly appears to be his very last dance of the core blossoms. Even though the day after tomorrow the sun itself should fall into the sea, and terrible creatures of the sunken world should crawl up from every crack in the land, and dark mystics or even the magi should reign over us all with whips made of molten lash, you shall not miss this dance." She began to shout as she rose to her feet, waving her hand in the air. "Nay, I say, fair brother. Though Poedison and abominable Rhaeni themselves, vilest of the enemies of the Forgotten, announce their presence as our dinner guests, you shall not miss this dance." Earth nearly fell off the crate in his laughter, and Sinew, too, was smiling like the finest politician. Encouraged, she went on, her slightly wide cheeks all the more beautiful for their subtle imperfections. "Yes, man-child and child-man," she prolixed, now kneeling beside him and taking his hand. "And on this eve of aging, if there be no woman in all the world to tickle joys anew from thine melancholy heart, then thou shalt not decline us the invitation of the handsomest woman in the realm." "Oh," he laughed, "and who would that be?" "Indeed," Sinew stood again, feigning anger and struggling to hide her giggling smile. "I have never encountered such boorish ignorance. Have you not? He asked. Even after living with him for all these 15 torturous years? She paused, a look of regal patience displayed with the fine wrinkles in her forehead. True enough, she waxed, barely containing her laughter. So be it. It was Earth's turn to rise and shout, gesticulating deeply. Damsel, daughter, and virgin craftswoman of the most legendary Lalek oils, wilt thou condescend to dance with an ignorant and desperate man-child? Oh, Earth, she nodded with all the seriousness of a 4-year-old. Most verily.